we talking about Indianapolis, AFC South, Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense, Colt-centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Do it big, like lines for an offense. Colt-centric, don't take offense. Back in the day, Colts versus Dolphins. Nowadays, it's Jags playing Moffin South.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast. Ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. We got a cool thing we're going to do tonight. We got a few guys on here all from Stampede Blue. We're going to rock yourselves a first round mock. Go through each and every pick in the first round. We got Stephen Reed, Jake Arthur, and Chris Shepard. All of us hanging out tonight. We're going to attempt to give everybody a good player, and we're going to try to do this as realistic as possible, but this ought to be a pretty good time. First of all, thank you all fellas for joining me tonight here on the Colts cast. Let's cover a little bit of news first and foremost and kind of discuss what's gone on with the Colts in the past few days. We haven't had a live show or even a podcast in the past couple days, so let's go through a little bit of that. Ursay mentions the thought that the Colts are in a three-year rebuild. His quote basically is that he thinks in the end it's all about draft picks and it's all about accumulating high draft picks if we can. A lot of people are making a big deal about this as far as kind of what that Ursay's actually vocalized it being a three-year rebuild. But I think, fellas, that you guys will agree with me when I say that it was a three-year rebuild in 2012. It just so happened that we had Andrew Luck could carry another crappy roster to an 11-5 record 3 years in a row. Things looked like they were on the up and on the rise. And then, reality sets in, things start going downhill, Luck gets injured a little bit, and stuff like that. Jake, let me bring you in first, my man, and talk to me about this. What is your thoughts as far as Ursay actually speaking about it being a rebuild? So fans seem to be kind of up in arms about this, man. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything to be up in arms about. I think in general, teams like to put about a three-year window on a rebuild. And I mean, I think it's good in general that they're acknowledging that it is a rebuild, because right away they're saying, hey, we know this is going to take time, so please also you guys be patient, which they've been saying that, but it's not in the nature of a fandom to be patient. But I mean, I think a three-year window is realistic. It gets you, it gives you time to groom a couple of your draft classes, and then how Chris Ballard approaches it, whatever young free agents that you would like to stick around or be bridge players until your rookies are ready. Those guys are either still contributing or, you're ready to move on with them. And those younger players that you had drafted are ready to step into those roles. And then by that time, you've got a good nucleus going with your team. So, I mean, I think that's totally reasonable. We all know Ursay. He tends to probably say more than a general manager or others in the organization would want. So while we probably hear Ballard put a timeline on anything, Ursay's not afraid to, but talked internally and about a three-year window until they start to make some noise, whether that's making the playoffs or competing inside the playoffs, whatever it is.
Right. Stephen, let me get your thoughts on this too, man. I mean, because, not only that, but, people were apparently trying to discern the difference between when did the rebuild start. Was it last year? Was it this year? I don't really understand, the need to care what it was. Because I think here's the thing. The Colts are going – I mean, obviously they think that a complete rebuild takes up to 3 years. I mean, I think that that's probably pretty common knowledge. But on the other hand, this, it just – when it happens, it happens. I mean, they're building for that. The three-year is the focus, is the kind of the end game that they see. After 3 years, we should be a contender by then. And I think that they're kind of underselling themselves and underselling the fact that Andrew Luck is worth at least 4 or 5 games every year. Now, I know we talk about this, and the Colts are talking about with some other news here with Andrew Luck about him finally throwing balls, little footballs, apparently, little footballs for Andrew. But the thought process is that if you can build and get just a few quality ball players out of this draft, three or four starters at least, and you can, you know, kind of get your way back into the mix with 8 or 10 win season, the Colts could be maybe not legitimate perennial contenders, but they could definitely be in the mix to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. It is kind of tough to discern. There was a big discussion today on Twitter that, you know, where they started, like when did the rebuild start, all that, just like you were saying. But as we've said before, Andrew Luck makes a huge difference just as a player. You know, look at the Colts last season. You know, they were 4-12, but, you know, they went into the fourth quarter in the second half, you know, of games, like I think it was 8 games or something like that, where they either were tied or had the lead going in. Like, I think a healthy Andrew Luck gives his team, you know, like you said, 4 or 5 more wins, and you're looking at competing for the division or at least the wild card at that point. And I don't think that when they say rebuild to be a contender, they don't mean that it's going to be, you know, 3 years of the Browns,
right?
Where you're going 0-16. You know, they're looking at, they want 3 years to build a perennial contender to where they are like, for example, the Patriots were the past, you know, past 10 years, where every year you got to consider them as a team to beat in the division and in the division and in the conference and with a legitimate opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. I think that's what they were kind of getting at when they said to build that 3 year complete overhaul rebuild, because quite honestly, that cupboard was pretty bare when Chris Ballard took over. And just in one offseason, you can see the amount of work that he's been able to put in. And looking at this offseason and the moves that he's made already in terms of the draft, the fact that he's, you know, picked up 2 extra second round picks for moving back 3 spots and a second round pick next year, like that's, people don't understand how huge that is to get all those extra picks in that second round.
Right. And I think that kind of goes in with, that ties in with this next story here, that we kind of all felt, you know, maybe after the first 72 hours of free agency, like the Colts had better make a trade within the draft. Chris, first and foremost, let me welcome Chris Shepard into the Colts cast. It's his initial one. So, Chris, let's talk about what Ballard said about some of the free agents. He said that he was in on some of the big names, I guess, if you want to put air quotes into it, and that, you know, it just didn't work out. Once the price tag got too high, the Colts were out. First of all, what were your thoughts on the Colts' first 72 hours, you know, being so quiet and really Danico Autry only being the only signing there? What are your thoughts on what he says as far as being in there? I think that we've come to the conclusion almost just de facto that he was trying to drive some prices up for some of the better guys. What are your thoughts on it, Chris, as far as how Ballard approached it and kind of where the Colts are at now with taking the bait with the trade here with the New York Jets move back to 6th?
Sure. So to me, it seems pretty obvious that Chris Ballard is working off of some sort of a budget. He's got a value for every position, for every guy. And it's totally possible that he was trying to drive up value so that those other teams couldn't get guys they wanted for cheap. But at the same time, it seems like that, you know, when you look at Jonathan Hankins, he was going to be playing a little bit out of a scheme fit, and the price tag for even a good player out of scheme fit he felt was too high. And so when you look at that, and then you look at what we did in the first 72 hours, he did exactly what he said he was going to do. He was going to, you know, possibly go after some guys, but he wasn't going to spend more than he was comfortable with. As far as the trade with the Jets and what we were able to get in return, anytime you can move back 3 spots in the first round to pick up 3 second round picks, you did a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. Those 3 second round picks, especially this year, we've got help. We need help on the interior offensive line. In that range, the early second round, there are going to be a lot of guys there that are going to be upgrades over what we have on the interior offensive line. I mean, obviously there's other positions that could be filled too, but it's a good year to have a lot of draft capital in that second round.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, it kind of tie in, but it makes it a really interesting thought that the Colts were actually offered by a few different teams some sort of compensation for Jacoby Brissett recently. And the Colts, you know, basically balked on that and were like, no, we're good. We're, you know, we kind of need him. But so many people, I don't know that people would really gauge. I didn't see anybody, you know, kind of passing on that they thought that this meant that the Colts were still apprehensive about Andrew Luck, being that they weren't willing to separate with Jacoby Brissett. But on this, at the same, on the same token, I guess, you know, it seemed like that the Colts were ready to, are willing to move out of that number three spot back to number six. Everybody assumed that the Colts have all this, you know, assumption that, that Andrew's going to be back and 100% and ready to go, and that everything's going to be hunky dory. So, Jake, did you take anything from either one of these? Did either one of these have any hidden meanings to you, whether the trade back with the Jets or the fact that the Colts did not bite on any trade offers for Brissett?
No, not really. I just kind of took those at face value. You know, as far as free agency goes, we haven't heard the Colts involved with many big name guys the last couple years, but it seems like they're only willing to do it at their price. Jonathan Hankins, for example, last year, he was one of the big name free agents, and he was, I believe, the last big name free agent to sign off the market. And I think it's just because, you know, his side was patient, his representation was patient. The Colts were, they came to a deal that was suitable for both sides. And like Chris said, Ballard's just not going to overpay for a certain position or a certain player. It's just not in his nature to do that. It's not how he wants to build a team. And then as far as trading back to get those extra picks goes, I'm sure he would have wanted to do it last year if he could have, you know, pulled something like this off. But the Colts were in a pretty unique position, a handful of quarterbacks that can go at the top, and they're among that. You know, they were the only team in the top six that didn't need a quarterback. You know, that's also what Ballard wants to do, is, you know, accrue as much draft capital as possible. So to me, it is just a couple things of Ballard sticking to his guns and also pulling off moves that he's always wanted to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree with you completely. The other thing that kind of struck me as fun was when Ballard was on Adam Schefter's podcast recently and was talking about kind of, you know, he was asked how the situation went with McDaniels and all that. And he did ask him, you know, hey, so are you, you know, have you had any kind of conversations with him up to this point or anything like that? And he said, I just thought it was funny how he's so straight faced. You couldn't see him, but you felt like you could. And he just says, no, I haven't talked to him. You know, and you could tell in his voice, no, I hadn't. Not only have I not talked to him, I don't want to talk to him, and I don't care. As far as I'm concerned, he's dead to me. And that's what I took from it. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was, you know, still kind of one of those things where I kind of said to myself, oh, Chris is holding a grudge, you know, but I think he's going to. And I think after the fact that, you know, he came up with the little, you know, the rivalries back on thing, I think he's going to have to live up to that. I mean, he's going to have to be, you know, the heel turns once in a while, and then now the heel's got to stay a heel because he already, you know, said that he already put his foot in the ring, so to speak. So I like Chris Ballard, you know, not giving a crap about anybody but the Colts and anybody else. I think that's a really cool thing, as well as so level-headed as he's been since free agency. He obviously heard the fans wanted more, they expected more, and you know, he basically kind of shut us all down a little bit, just saying, you know, chill out, things are going to happen, this is a legitimate rebuild, we've got the right coach, we've got the right prospects this draft, we've accumulated another pick for next year, who knows what, you know, happens with Brissett come week five, week six, and Andrew Luck looks beautiful. You know, Brissett all of a sudden has a little bit more of a trade market possibly and stuff like that. And maybe there's some more deals and such that go on later. But I think that we're all pretty happy with the way it's gone, even though there was some frustration. Now, I know everybody had their ideas. Now, I don't think that a lot of us anyways had, suggestions that the Colts should go after all these big name guys, that they should all get them signed, and you know, not in, not the Grigson going big name, you know, 35-year-old guy who looked good last year but was on his last win type signings. But I wanted Norwell. I know that a lot of people did. So I just think that we've got to be, you know, possibly, and say, when I say we, I mean me, have to be a little more patient with Chris about what his focus is and where he's at. So I think we're all good with that. We're going to kind of skip over some of the other newsy stuff for right now. We've got a full first round mock we're going to throw down. We're going to do it right after the break. So we're going to take a quick 5-second break for audio, and we'll be right back. All right, thanks, guys, for coming back to the Colts Cast. We're going to do this, and to save us thinking about it or drawing out of a hat like I was originally going to, just to be a turd, but we're going to start with Chris Shepherd. He's going to have the first overall pick. Jake, from left to right on my screen, is going to be number 2. Steven will be number 3, and I'll go number 4, since that's kind of how it is on my screen. So we are going to go with our mock drafts, and we are going to try to do our best to give every team a good player, but we're going to see. I guess Jake is going to be the one picking for the Colts at 6. We're not doing any trades or anything like that. So, all right, Chris.
Don't mess it up, Jake.
Chris, we got the Cleveland Browns on the clock right now at number 1 overall. Where you got?
So I'm going to go ahead and be pretty boring. This seems to be the pick that everybody's calling. But he is my QB1. If I were in charge, I would pick Sam Darnold, quarterback USC, to be the franchise quarterback of the Colts.
All right, Sam Darnold off the board. Jake Arthur picking for the New York Giants. What's up, Jake?
What is happening? Okay, so this hurts me to do, but it makes sense for the Giants to go with Bradley Chubb right here after getting rid of Jason Pierre-Paul this week. I think it's Bradley Chubb time for the Giants.
I was wondering that myself. I think that everybody has since they traded JPP. But they are in a really, you know, beneficial position, I think. I think that they've really got a lot of possibilities there. I mean, they do, all but one, you know. I mean, they've got everything. So, all right, Steven, number 3, New York Jets.
Ooh, all right. The New York Jets is going to take Saquon. No, I'm just joking. hey, these guys.
Be a lot of pissed off Jets fans.
I know, right? Well, they boo regardless. So it doesn't really matter. So the Jets obviously traded up to get a quarterback. So that's what we're going to go with here. But which one? I'm going to go with Josh Rosen here, quarterback from UCLA. I think that he probably fits more so. What they're going to be looking for. Baker Mayfield could be an option here too, but I think it's either going to be Josh Rosen or Baker Mayfield.
All right. I'm shooting for the Cleveland Browns second pick at number 4 overall, and I'm taking Saquon Barkley because we've got our quarterback. Ugh, that about made me throw up. I didn't mean to say we. The Browns have their quarterback, and, you know, next – reasonable situation here is to get themselves somebody who can be relied upon to take the pressure off of Darnold and get this bad boy on the road. They've done a lot in free agency. Barkley's the next logical addition, in my opinion. So Saquon Barkley to the Cleveland Browns. Back to Chris with the Denver Broncos at number 5.
So I'm actually going to go a different route from what I've seen a lot of people predicting. But the Broncos defense has been a point of strength for a long time. I know a lot of people want to see them go quarterback. I think when they signed Case Keenum, John Elway mentioned that was some sort of a fulfilling of a dream. I don't see it, but John Elway seems to, so we'll let him live his life. But I think Minkah Fitzpatrick here could make a lot of sense to add some youth to that defense and kind of keep them going. So I'm thinking a defensive back, Fitzpatrick.
All right. Jake, for the Indianapolis Colts at number 6, Bradley Chubb's off the board. You took him off the board, traitor. And now it's your turn to give the Colts somebody solid here.
The best of the big 3, Bradley Chubb, Saquon Barkley, and Quentin Nelson. We've got Quentin Nelson now. Is – Andrew Luck's new battering ram up front. So
I like market. I like that. Do the anybody clap in the background? Where are we at? Where's the draft? Oh, the draft's in Dallas. Okay. So, all right. Number seven, Steve, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Where are we at?
All right. So Tampa Bay's kind of in a tough spot. They need a bunch of players all over the place. Let's see. With Quentin Nelson now gone, I think they'll probably go with
Not they'll probably. You take who you want.
No, I would do if I were Tampa Bay is I would go with Denzel Ward here.
Interesting.
That cornerback out of Ohio State. I just feel like they've got to upgrade that defensive secondary there. And again, they've got a couple options. You could go Tremaine Edmonds or a couple other ways with this, but I think they'll probably go with the best player left on the board for them, Denzel Ward.
Interesting. All right, I got the Chicago Bears. I think a lot of people wanted to give them a linebacker of some sort. You know, I think they have a lot of options, whether it could have been Denzel Ward, you know, if he was still on the board here or something like that. But I'm letting them get Buck. I think those Bears are ready to get crazy, and they want a guy who's as focused on one thing as possible that he's really, really good at. I'm going Harold Landry, number 8, to the Chicago Bears to blow up some serious pass rush for the NFC NFC North. This is going to be an insane thing with him up in Chicago. So that's where I'm headed. Harold Landry, number 8, to the Chicago Bears.
I like that pick.
Floyd and Harold Landry, I like it.
That'd be sick, I think. So, all right, number 9, San Francisco 49ers. Chris, what you got?
So a year ago, you wouldn't have thought that the 49ers would be in position to need a linebacker, but I feel pretty good about the fact that they do. Right now, they're having some issues with their 32nd overall pick that they had last year. He's been in some legal trouble. I'm not going to go into that, but it's looking like they may need another young inside linebacker. And so I think what they're looking for, what's going to fit their style the most is linebacker out of Virginia Tech, Tremaine Edmonds. I think he's a big run and hit guy. He's a little bit raw. He's going to need to develop a little bit. But hopefully for the 49ers' sake, they're going to have some time to let him sit and develop. But he may need to play sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I like it. All right. So let's sit. It's getting a little crazy here.
No, I'm getting excited. I've got Miami coming up, and I got two quarterbacks ready for me.
All right. Sit here with Miami. Jake.
No, it's Oakland.
Oh, that's what Oakland. I meant. Oakland. Jake, what do you got with Oakland at number 10?
I tell you what, man. John Gruden goes and gets his throwback linebacker. We got Roquan Smith off the board here.
Solid pick.
I love that guy.
They need upgrades all over the defense.
Yeah, that is massive.
And I think they had a really good off-ball linebacker.
All right. So we're through number 10 now. That's a healthy number 10, healthy 10, first 10 draft picks for sure.
What's everybody think? What's the best pick out of that?
That
anybody
group?
Got a
Quentin Nelson?
No, but in terms of value, like, do we think that looking at Chubb at 2, or the fact that what's the surprise? Like, right now we've got only two of the top 4 quarterbacks went.
I think Landry would be the biggest surprise. I think he's worth going inside the top 10, but I don't think a lot of people would expect it right now.
Right. I would agree with that. I wouldn't say that was the best value, though, either. I think that might be, you know, quite a debate. But hard to say value in that, because you really don't – there's so many of these guys in this top 10 that are potential all pros. You know, I mean,
I think all these guys went in pretty appropriate spots.
Yeah, I'd go with that as well. All right. Sit here at number 11, Steven licking his chops for a quarterback with the Miami Dolphins. So, where are you going here?
So the Miami Dolphins are taking we are definitely going quarterback because, let's be real. Ryan Tannehill cannot stay healthy for the life of him. And so it's time to move on, cut your losses. They're clearly in a rebuild right now. So if I'm Miami, I'm going to go ahead and take Baker Mayfield here at Oklahoma. I think he's going to have a lot of fun on South Beach. So that might be the only concern, but he's a heck of a football player, and I think that he'll do well down in Miami.
Oh, man. All right. So I'm at number 12 with the Buffalo Bills, and I think that Buffalo fans are kind of pissed right now because they wanted Baker Mayfield. I'm not so sure that they want Josh Allen. I'm just saying. But I'm giving it to him anyways because they need a quarterback. I don't know that I have another guy in mind. I really want to draft somebody else, but I think that right now the Bills are in such a dire need for a quarterback. You simply can't ignore it in the first round. If you want to get another one in the fourth, kind of like the Redskins did, mm-hmm. or something like that later on, I think that I think that's a smart move too. But I think you have no choice but to go quarterback here. You just even if Allen is a perennial bust, you just got to do it, I think, right here. And I think that sucks because they could have a hell of a defensive player right here if they wanted him, and they just don't, you know, they just don't have that. So they don't have that luxury, I guess you could say. So, all right, here we go back to Chris. You're at number 13 with the Washington Redskins, my man. What do you got?
This is one of those where need meets value in the draft, and the Redskins, they're going to go ahead and take Vita Vey. He's going to come in, and he's got some he has some movement ability for a big guy, but I think you plug him in day one at nose tackle, and you let him go in, and if he can dominate the way that he did at Washington, they're going to have something special there. Either way, though, he's definitely an upgrade, fills a need for them, and I feel he's good value at 13.
Yeah, I think he is too, but I think that he's one of those guys that you just can't figure out when you're going to see him come off the board. You know, and it'd be weird to say he'd be weird to say he dropped if he was in the 20s, because I think that's really good value for him. But at the same time, I don't think that's grossly underdrafted or anything like that. It's really weird. I think he could be in. I think his probably average would be about 16 or 17 on many teams' boards. So I don't think that that's a great reach at all. I think that's a really good pick for them. I think they're going to like that. So, all right.
Yeah, he's a rare guy that's got some size, but he can also rush. He can get up the passer a little bit too. It's not too often you have too many 340 pounders move like he does. So, you know, it like you said, he may drop down to the 20s. I wouldn't hesitate to pull the trigger at all at 13.
Yeah,
he's a great player. I scouted the interior defensive lineman, and I tell you, he was my top rated guy, and he's. He should be a player.
That's right. Then in your opinion, that's the right spot for him.
Yeah. Hmm. Honestly, yeah. Like I have him on my big board, I have him at 12 overall.
Nice.
And he went 13, so that's right there.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. Jake, you get the luxury of picking for the Green Bay Packers. Who you got?
All right, so I think obviously whenever you have an elite quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, your offense is always going to be fine. Their offensive line isn't perfect, but, you know, it can do. It's always their defense that lets them down in the end. Mm. So I'm going to give them someone who I think is kind of underrated, and that's Rashawn Evans, linebacker out of Alabama. They've got a couple decent so-so linebackers right now in the middle, but I think Rashawn Evans really gives them a boost.
Interesting. I think that I'm on board with now. I haven't watched him as much as you have, Jake, but I think he is really close to the Roquan and the Tremaine Edmonds and those guys. I think he's really close as far as talent wise. I think he's going to be a hell of a pro for sure. So, all right.
I had those three all graded very, very closely. It's pretty hard to separate them.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, do you think that Roquan's can that much better in the coverage game, you know, enough to make him that much of a higher pick? Four or five picks apart, I think that's pretty standard for where they will probably end up going. So off to the Arizona Cardinals here with Steven. What's up?
Oh, buddy, I feel really confident right now that this 15th spot now in the past two drafts is going to net a safety.
I knew you were going to do it.
Should not have fallen.
I know.
I'm going to take Derwin James.
Good call.
Out of Florida State here for Arizona, especially after losing the Honey Badger. It just seems like a no-brainer.
Yep, I totally agree. That is exactly who I was going with. Even if it was a Baltimore, I mean, you know, Baltimore here, I just wouldn't care.
Too good a value.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah,
I agree.
I agree. He's getting, you know, people are praising that pick for sure. So, all right. Derwin James to the Arizona Cardinals at 15th overall, almost halfway through our first round mock. So now we're down to the Baltimore Baltimore Ravens, some kind of a bird, you know, no big deal.
The team from Baltimore,
some bird. So I'm at a crossroads here because there's a couple, you know, like most picks are going to be, there's a couple guys I could get that I really would want to get. And I think that I might be in reaching a touch if I do this, but I'm going Calvin Ridley, wide receiver to the Baltimore Ravens. I know they need one. I know that they've done some acquisitions in free agency. I think that you bring a kid like Ridley on with his skill set, and he's going to be, because I mean, look, Joe Flacco's not going to be around forever. You're going to have some weapons transition between quarterbacks whenever that day comes. So for some of the needs that they've got, that may not be the most pressing, but to me it was a big one. So I went Calvin Ridley for number 16 to the Baltimore Ravens. All the way back to Chris. Chris, we are at the L.A. Chargers at number 17 overall. Who are you going to give them?
Well, first, I just want to comment on your Calvin Ridley to the Ravens. It's a pretty safe bet. You find a guy from Alabama and you just mock him to the Ravens. They're going to take one of those guys anyway. So I feel like that's a pretty safe pick. Hmm. As far as looking at the Chargers, I've actually got a guy ranked higher at the position, but I feel like this guy fits a little bit more with what the Chargers would do. They do need help up front. They need help specifically at right tackle. And I think Mike McGlinchey's a guy that I think he can slide over to right tackle, and I think that he could start in the league for a long time. Don't think he's an elite talent, but at the same time, you know, in that division, you've got a lot of guys that are going to be coming off the edge on both sides. And having him in there that's going to be able to step up and block some guys for a long time, I think that'll be good for them.
I like that pick a lot, to be quite honest with you. I think that's a good one. Man, we got a couple guys hanging out there that, you know, just a couple sitting right here on the cusp. I'm trying to see how many in my original mock are going to be gone in this first round, kind of see where we're at with that. So, all right. We're on to the Seattle Seahawks, and that is Jake Arthur. Who are you going to give the Seattle Seahawks?
Well, I feel like every year I try to mock them offensive linemen in the first because they're one of the only teams that don't get as much crap about their offensive line despite not having one as the Colts do. I guess it's because Andrew has had worse issues than Russell Wilson. But there's a fit here because I was going to go McGlinchey or Isaiah Wynn, but I found a fit here that I like even more. I'm going to give Iowa cornerback Josh Jackson to the Seahawks.
That's a good pick for them.
Perfect fit after Richard Sherman is gone. They also lose Deshaun Shedd and Jeremy Lane, so they have almost no one. So they'll give Josh Jackson here into the secondary to pair up with Shaquille Griffin.
Nice. I like that.
Perfect.
I like that. That's who I had on our – well, I'm not going to give that one away, but let's move on. Number 19 overall.
Ooh, teasing.
Steven, who are you going to give the Dallas Cowboys, dude?
All right, for the Cowboys, boy, they are in some salary cap mess, and they need some defensive players. But the crazy thing is they need – that interior defensive player. So I'm going to give him Daron Payne, the defensive tackle out of Alabama. He's up and down, but that seems to be like the kind of player that Jarrah likes to keep. And he's from Alabama and, you know, them and those SEC boys. So they like to, you know, Jerry's from Arkansas, I believe. So I can see him going with Daron Payne here just to shore up the middle of that defense.
Yeah, I think that's a good move. And I think there's, going to be now a run in some form or fashion. We're at number 20 with the Detroit Lions. I'm just going to be straight up with this because I wanted to give them a tight end right here. I really thought that would be the pick. But with some of the guys left on the board, Maurice Hurst's medicals came back. He was cleared. I don't think that their new head coach could ask for a better guy up front. Why not stack talent on top of talent in Detroit? We're going to give Maurice Hurst to the Detroit Lions at number 20 overall. So I had another guy in mind as well, but I went with Hurst because I think he's the best talent on the board at this point left. And I think that he is would be a perfect fit there for Matt Patricia to be able just to just destroy some offensive linemen. And it's kind of, you know, giving me a little queasy inside. So let's head to 21 with the Cincinnati Bengals. Chris, who are you going to give Cincinnati?
Okay. Well, one thing real quick, I want to make sure that I've got it right. Is Marcus Davenport still on the board? Is he still available?
He is.
Yeah, because he's super raw.
Yeah. Well, he is super raw. I was just making sure I hadn't missed something. I wanted to make sure I was on the same page.
No.
Okay.
But I think he's actually going to go 23. So.
Well, I mean, now that you've told me. No. I'm just kidding. The Bengals need a lot of help up front. They are like a lot of teams. So when I was doing the opponent scouting reports this year, I scouted both Seattle and Cincinnati, and they were the only two offenses that I saw that actually had worse offensive lines than we did, and it wasn't even close. The Bengals need help up front in the worst way. I think that they're going to need to start with a tackle. Some people have some concerns about this prospect. He does have shorter arms for the position. Scouting him, looking at him, this guy is an elite athlete at tackle. I think that he can overcome the shortness of the arms that he has. I think Connor Williams, the tackle from Texas, goes to Cincinnati, and I think he starts there for the next decade.
That's nice. That's a good pick. That's a good pick. After what they lost in free agency last year, you know, I think Andy Dalton's pretty happy with that decision for sure. So, all right, we're sitting at number 22 with the Buffalo Bills. Jake, who are you going to give the Bills?
All right, so
take another quarterback.
Yeah,
you know, both of them in the first round.
They probably need it. So, Matt, you gave them Josh Allen, who's a pretty inaccurate passer there at the beginning. So what we're going to do
– give somebody with a big catch range?
A wide receiver with a huge – yes, with a huge catch radius. So let's go ahead and throw Cortland Sutton up on the board.
Ooh.
Because I love Cortland Sutton, and I think he'd be a great wide receiver to pair with Josh Allen. Sean McDermott loves his big wide receivers. They've got Kelvin Benjamin there. Zay Jones had that really weird naked party in his hotel room. And then Deontay Thompson's gone. So they're going to need some more help catching passes. So Cortland Sutton.
Cortland Sutton. That's a good pick. Let's hope that he uses his hands to catch a little bit more there, especially when he's going to be taking, you know, 100 mile an hour bullets from Josh Allen on some slant routes. Sitting at 23 for the LA Rams, Steven, who are you going to give them?
Oh man, this is such a tough pick that I've already told you guys about. They really do need some pass rushers on the edge. So I am going to give him Marcus Davenport, even though he's super raw. I think the pressure that Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh are going to be able to put up through the middle is going to give Marcus Davenport a lot of learning curve and a lot of single matchups on the outside, which could be good for him at least to start off. So I'm going to upgrade their pass rush there and go with Marcus Davenport in the defensive end of the UTSA.
Nice. Good pick. Good pick. We're at 24 with Carolina Panthers. This is me. I've got two guys in mind, as always. I don't know why I keep qualifying that every single time, but
safer that way.
It is. It makes me feel like if I didn't get the right guy, this other guy might be better.
Hedging. That's what we call this.
Yeah, right. Two guys that I really love, though, and I've been talking this guy up though so much that I got to get him here because I think that truly he is going to be one, and I say one of, but I mean one of the top two, probably three pass rushers out of this draft. Even if he's not a 10 sack guy every single year, he's going to be a guy who is constantly disrupting the backfield. He's constantly going to be getting in the quarterback's face, knocking down passes, covering, just knocking people crazy. I'm really high on him, and it's Sam Hubbard, edge out of Ohio State. I think that when you put him in any kind of an attacking defense at all, you are going to get a guy who is going to get you 7-8 tackles just simply off of effort. He is one of my favorite edges in this class. And so I'm going to do Carolina a solid. Instead of a quarterback, or a cornerback is who I was kind of wanting to give them. But I went with the guy that I felt was, you know, the most impactful out of the two there and gave him Sam Hubbard. So moving on to 25th pick overall to the Tennessee Titans. We are all the way back to Chris. Who are you going to give him?
So they're going to need some help up front at the center position. It just so happens Billy Price played tackle for Ohio State. A lot of people think he can slide into center. Worst case, I think Billy Price is going to be a Pro Bowl guard. I think he's got that kind of talent, but I believe he can play center, and I think that he'll do a good job for him there. So Billy Price, center, Ohio State.
Nice pick. That's a good pick. I think that they're going to need – they're really doing – the AFC South this year, I mean, everybody knows this offseason has been pretty jam-packed with some really impressive moves from quite a bit of them. I mean, I think all three of the teams have gotten legitimately better. If the Jaguars would have done something other than extend – Bortles, they might actually be moving in the right direction as well. I think they're going to, you know, kind of regret doing that, but I don't doubt that they're going to take a quarterback in the second or third round to try to unseat him at some point anyway. So
personally, I'm a big fan of them re-signing Bortles. I want Blake Bortles to play until he's 50 for the Jags.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he needs to go to the TB12 Academy, right?
Yeah, there you go. He's going to go back and talk to a house again, because obviously the first three times he did it, it didn't work. So, all right, we're sitting at 26 with the Atlanta Falcons. Jake, who are you going to give them?
To me, the perfect pick for the Falcons is Isaiah Wynn. We're going to move him to guard for them out of Georgia. They don't have much to write home about on that line outside of Alex Mack and Jake Matthews. Andy Levitra is just okay. The other guard, he doesn't come to mind. His name escapes me right now, but Isaiah Wynn is an instant upgrade for them. Right there in their own backyard at Georgia. So I think that I've always had Isaiah Wynn or a defensive tackle in my mind for them this whole time. So with no really good tackles available at the moment, we're going with Wynn.
Nice. All right, let's sit 27, New Orleans Saints. Steven, give the New Orleans Saints somebody that's going to make them feel special.
Wait, oh, that's a lot of pressure. Goodness. Yeah. So what I'm going to do with New Orleans is I don't really care about whether you feel special, but I do care whether Drew Brees feels special. And so I'm going to give him Dallas Goedert, tight end out of South Dakota State, to come in and catch some passes here for Drew Brees and kind of expand out that offense to try to get what they're missing with Jimmy Graham. Or when Jimmy Graham left, and they tried to replace it with Kobe, because it's weird. He couldn't catch a ball in Indianapolis, and also could not catch a ball in New Orleans. That's weird how that translates from one dome team to another. So I'm going to give him Dallas Goedert because I think that Drew Brees needs another weapon there in offense, and tight end is something that he's always utilized.
Nice, that's a good pick. Off to the Pittsburgh Steelers at number 28. I'm going to give them somebody that probably won't be there, in my opinion, at this point, but somebody that I think is definitely going to make them better, that they can move around, versatile along the defensive line, can be a situational pass rusher, in my opinion. And where I'm at is one of them. I think that he's the most athletic defensive lineman in the draft and could be one of the more impactful guys, especially with this kind of a coaching staff in Pittsburgh, and that's Taven Bryan, defensive lineman out of Florida. So I'm going to give the Pittsburgh Steelers Taven Bryan, and he's going to kill people for years. So we're sitting at 29 now with the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're back to Chris. What do the Jaguars do here? Another quarterback?
Get a punter.
All right, well – inside my heart, I would mock them a punter, but I don't feel like that's realistic. Unfortunately, I think there's a guy on the board that just makes too much sense. When I watched the Jags last year, a lot of people talked about how good their offensive line was. I didn't really see it. I thought that they were above average. They've got a couple of nice pieces there. But Will Hernandez out of UTEP, he's just a big, mean, nasty dude. Now, he does need a lot of help with both hand placement, footwork. His technique isn't great. He's raw, but at the same time, he is a large, powerful man that just dominates people at the point of attack, and he fits exactly what the Jags want to do. And unfortunately, I think he's going to be thrown around our defensive tackles two times a year.
That's a good
Shut
pick.
Your mouth.
That's a crazy pick, especially after they grabbed Norwell in free agency too. Oof.
Right, yeah, they've made some moves to help shore things up, but at the same time, I mean, you put Norwell at the left, you put Hernandez at the right. Hernandez fits better at the right anyway, just due right. to the fact that he's going to just move people in the run game. I think that's where he's going to be anyway. So you add those guys up front, and they're going to be set at guard for a long time.
Yeah, they are. That sucks. Number 30, Minnesota Vikings. Jake, who are you going to give the Minnesota Vikings here, man, at number 30 overall?
This one is a tough one for me because I'd like to give them another corner to pair with Xavier Rhodes. But instead, I'm going to try and help out their offensive line a little bit. We're going to go with Tyrell Crosby from Oregon. Put him wherever you'd like. We'll probably start out at right tackle, I would imagine. But that's one thing that could really help their offense move in the next direction. Kirk Cousins has some mobility, just like Case Keenum did. But, you know, they're just a couple small pieces away from getting there. They were in the NFC Championship before getting dusted. But I think that would definitely help them, is just totally reinforcing that offensive line.
Nice. That's a good pick. They need it. They definitely need the beef, so, I mean, why not? Who are the New England Patriots going to steal from the rest of the crowd here, Steven? I mean, they have their pick of some really, really good players here. And,
they're going to forfeit it.
They're going to give this one up?
Yeah, they're going to – they're just going to call this one a mulligan. Philip, you're up. No. So, New England, they need more help than what people think. I mean, they don't have a backup quarterback right now. Brady's not going to play forever. They need some DB help. They need linebackers. They need offensive line. They've got more holes than what people think. But given the fact that they just lost their left tackle, I am going to go ahead and give them Colton Miller out of UCLA to kind of sub in for Nate Solder and hope that he can hope that he actually misses a couple blocks and they crush Brady. But Miller's a good player, and I don't think that'll happen as much as I would wish.
Interesting. That's I'm trying to think if the Patriots have drafted an offensive lineman in a long time. I can't
remember. Might have been Solder was the last one.
At least in the first round, I mean.
The last top one, I think Solder was.
Was it?
I think so.
That's interesting.
I think he was. You guys know what the best part of the Patriots draft pick this year is? They're picking 31st. That's the best part. It's amazing.
That number, yeah.
It's not a bad thing. But they passed up on a guy in the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. Now have their pick of the litter of a lot of really good corners.
Yeah.
And I'm going Jaire Alexander from Louisville. And I think that they are one happy bunch right there when you see that guy coming in there. And you've got a couple of solid corners already. You're going to have this guy there who could definitely beat out a couple, or you know, could win his way into a starting role at some point, whether he moves down into the slot or stays outside or something like that. I think he's going to be an excellent corner at the next level. And he gets, actually, in my opinion, I think he gets a little bit of time to grow there, but I think that's a great pick for them going into their rebound year after a Super Bowl with a top flight corner, in my opinion, one of the top two or three corners in this draft, quite honestly. And to get him at 32, I think they're a pretty happy bunch. So there is our first round mock, everybody. Congratulations. We all made it through. And so, I think we had some good picks in here. Who are some guys that got left out of the first round that you guys may think deserve to be at least in the first round conversation?
Darius Geis.
Darius Geis, yeah.
Ooh, yeah. I didn't have him in my first round.
Yeah, I think he'll end up probably going probably in that late teens, early 20s range. But the trouble is when we were all picking, like, there was just better value at positions in need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think it's that far-fetched, though, that Geis may not make it into the first round. I really don't.
He might not.
I think
you could also look at James Daniels and especially Leighton Vander Esch.
Yep.
I have Isaiah Oliver as well as one of the guys that I could see.
Yeah.
So the Colts will have a lot of good picks.
I was actually going to give the Steelers Vander Esch and decided against it, but he was one of the guys that I was thinking about for that.
Yeah, Vander Esch seems like a Steelers guy. So my guy that I feel like deserves to be in the first round, super controversial pick here for some reason. I feel like Lamar Jackson is a guy. I think that he is really he's in a tough spot because any other year, and I feel like he's a first round quarterback, no doubt about it. I feel like if he would have waited, come out next year, he would have been a first round quarterback last year. He would have been a first rounder this year. There are just so many guys in that top pick, and then there are questions about his game, but at the same time, he's an electric athlete, and I feel like he is worthy of a first round pick for a team that needs a quarterback.
I'll be honest. I almost took him with New England at the very end, just to let him sit.
I would have
right
hated
behind.
That.
Yeah, because I'm the same way. Like, I've got him right there in that cusp of the first round, and I'm sitting there going, "That's a great player there." But looking at what's left, you've got a lot of good players there for the Colts at 4 and 5 in that second round.
So I'm an idiot. Did anybody else? Did anybody keep track of our picks?
I did.
I did.
Good. Jake, go ahead and read off the picks if you want. Do the first 10, and since Steven also recorded them, you guys just split them. Go the first 16, Jake.
Yeah, no problem.
Make both of you feel special. So I'm all about making people feel special today.
Yeah, thank you. I do feel special.
So first up, the Browns selected Sam Darnold. The Giants selected Bradley Chubb. The Jets took Josh Rosen. The Browns took Saquon Barkley. The Broncos took Minka Fitzpatrick. The Colts got Quentin Nelson. The Buccaneers took Denzel Ward. The Bears got Harold Landry. The 49ers took Tremaine Edmonds. And then the Raiders rounded out the top 10 with Roquan Smith.
All right.
Miami then took Baker Mayfield, the quarterback at Oklahoma. Buffalo took Josh Allen at 12. 13, Washington went with the big defensive tackle out of Washington, Vita Vea. Green Bay at 14 went with Rashawn Evans. Arizona stole Derwin James at 15. Baltimore got the wide receiver they need in Calvin Ridley. The Chargers took offensive tackle Mike McGlinchey. The Seattle went with Josh Jackson, cornerback from Iowa. Dallas then shored up their defensive line with Jerron Payne. Detroit also went defensive line with Maurice Hurst Jr.
All right. Go ahead and finish us out there, Steven, with the rest of the picks.
Sure, everyone. Yeah. Cincinnati went with Connor Williams, offensive tackle. Buffalo at 22 went with Cortland Sutton, wide receiver, to catch the wide array of Josh Allen passes. The Los Angeles Rams went with Marcus Davenport. Carolina went with Sam Hubbard, defensive end of Ohio State. Tennessee went with another Ohio Stater, Billy Price, the center. Atlanta at 26 went with offensive guard out of Georgia, Isaiah Wynn. New Orleans took the tight end out of South Dakota State, Dallas Goedert. Pittsburgh at 28 went with Taven Bryan, defensive tackle out of Florida. Jacksonville at 29 with Will Hernandez, the guard. Minnesota at pick 30 went with Tyrell Crosby, offensive tackle. New England took Colton Miller, offensive tackle. And then Philadelphia rounding out the first round at 32 went with J.R. Alexander, the cornerback out of Louisville.
Nice. That's good first round, guys. So, thoughts. Who's your favorite pick out of all of them? Can't be the favorite pick that you didn't pick.
Why do you say that?
Because I know that I know that all of us are happy with who we picked for the most part for each team. So you got to pick somebody else's pick. Go, Steven, while you're on, go ahead, man.
I'm going to say I really like Roquan Smith with Oakland. And that pick was a really good pick. I could also see Sam Hubbard in Carolina. Mm-hmm. Both those picks really were great picks in my mind in terms of value and what they really need as a team and the player there. I know that you've been touting Sam Hubbard for forever, Matt.
I love him.
But he's really a good player. And yeah, I believe he had really good three-cone drill too. For edge rushers, that's huge. So yeah, those would be my two picks that were not my own that I really liked.
Chris, how about you, man?
So as much as it pains me to say, I just think that Chubb to the Giants at two, it just makes too much sense. I mean, it was kind of a no-brainer, but at the same time, in my opinion, it was the best pick of the draft. You can't go wrong there with that one.
I agree. Mine is that number five, the Broncos with Minkah Fitzpatrick. I think that that was a fantastic pick. I think that he's going to be something special. And I think that what they're used to in their secondary there in Denver, over the past several years, I think he's a great addition. Not only that, but who they've, you know, kind of let walk. I think that he'd be, a great addition for them. And I actually have to go with the Arizona Cardinals and Derwin James, because I think that that is going to be a match made in heaven. I don't think that he's going to be super impactful in his first year, only because of where that defense is at, how young they are. But if they all come together and they all gel and that chemistry really just stands out, that could be a really deadly guy on the back end, especially, you know, they're going to have a need for it too. I mean, they gave up the Honey Badger earlier. You know, they've got some other guys from the past couple drafts that are going to step up and be really good ball players, but I thought there was a ton of good picks in here. Jake, I really liked that you picked Seattle, or Josh Jackson went going to Seattle. I think that was a great pick. Jake, what are your favorite ones in the first round, our first initial first round mock here on the live stream Colts Cast?
Well, the one I really, really liked, I thought was good value, was Derwin James in Arizona. You know, great value. I think that's a perfect fit. Replaces Tyrann Mathieu, and he just fits into that image that they have. You know, they're just such high quality defensive backs, and I'm even going to throw Deion Buchanan into that as well, because he was a defensive back when he was drafted. Patrick Peterson, they had Tony Jefferson before. I just think it fits in perfectly with what they've done over the last several years. I like that one a good deal. I think Maurice Hurst to Detroit is a perfect fit. Let's see. Connor Williams to the Bengals. I like Chris sticking to his guns there. A lot of people have been up and down on Williams. And if you can get over the arm stuff, the arm length, then, you know, there's no reason why he couldn't play tackle. So, and I think they need a line so bad. When I saw what they did last offseason, I didn't see how there was going to be any way that they were going to have a successful offense, and they didn't. It went predictably terrible. So they have to do something with their offensive line. So
what do we think about Jake, you know, taking the guard Quentin Nelson there for the Indianapolis Colts? Steven, what are your thoughts on that?
It's good. I mean, you can't. He's a top three player in this draft that went six overall. And
let me ask you this:
in this draft, since we weren't allowed to trade,
is that your pick? Is that your pick if you're at six right there with the way the board fell?
Yeah, I'm torn. You know, if the board falls this way and I can't trade out, I'm probably taking Quentin Nelson. I'm torn between all three of those players right there that went in row six, seven, and eight: Quentin Nelson, Denzel Ward, and Harold Landry. I think any three of those, you really are fine. You can throw in Roquan Smith in there, and I'd be fine with any four of those players. There's a part of me that thinks that mystery player that that Stephen Holder was talking about or hinting at earlier today is going to be somebody like Denzel Ward, just because Chris Ballard loves his corners. And that's, and he's probably the best cover corner in this draft in terms of getting takeaways, which is what something Chris Ballard has always been focused on since his initial press conference, was winning the turnover battle and getting extra possessions for Andrew Luck. Yeah. But again, I would probably still take Quentin Nelson in this spot, but I wouldn't have turned away from Denzel Ward either.
I think I'm taking Quentin Nelson here for sure. I think that's way too high. I mean, I think I picked Harold Landry too high. I think we kind of discussed that earlier. I think Harold Landry probably shouldn't come off the board in the top 10. That's just my own opinion. But, you know, the Chicago Bears need that extra beef, in my opinion, and they need that edge presence. I think that was a good pick, because I totally thought that, before not even knowing what teams we were picking for, I kind of thought that Davenport would come off the board there. But, I'm with you guys. He's way too raw in what he does. But, you know, when you see that kind of potential, I just wonder if the Bears would have been the team to bite on it in the first place if he's still around. But, you know, talking about Denzel Ward being, you know, the mystery player or whatever we're talking about, I think that his style of play, too, is conducive to what the Colts are wanting to do on defense now as well. Mm-hmm. He's not a huge guy, so it's not that 6'2", 6'3", press cover corner that, you know, we're really looking into. We're looking for a guy, like Ballard said, he wants a guy who can drive on the ball, sit in his zones, be able to read and react. And I think that Denzel Ward's, I mean, that fits him to a T. So I have a problem with the Colts going corner at number 6 overall, only because it's like, that's great. It is a great pick, and I would be happy with him being in the Colts secondary. But man, number 6 overall, when Quentin Nelson's still on the board, I have to go Nelson myself. So, Chris, do you agree with Jake's interpretation of our interpretation with Jake's pick at 6 there with Quentin Nelson?
So first, let me say, if the pick is Quentin Nelson at 6, I'll be real happy he's a Colt. If it's Saquon Barkley, I'll be real happy he's a Colt. But in my opinion, you don't take a guard and you don't take a running back 6 overall. I know they're special players, but when you look at, for me personally, when you look at what they're going to give you as far as wins compared to what you had to give up to get them, the 6th overall pick, I don't feel that there's value there. With that said, I think Quentin Nelson, I'm not going to say the guy's going to be a Hall of Famer, but, you know, if he stays healthy, if he plays to his potential, I think you're looking at a guy who's going to start 10 to 15 years in the league at a really high level. But at the same time, you know, how many wins is that going to get you? And you know, I'm just not sure that he's the guy there. Now, like I said, if they take him, I'm going to be happy. If they don't, I'll probably be a little bit happier. For me, I think that the mystery guy, you know, I'm not sure who it is. I don't know if they're thinking linebacker. I don't know if they're thinking someone like Roquan Smith, who would be absolutely perfect if you're looking for, if we're truly going back to that Tampa 2, which they've said it too many times now for it there not to be something there. The first time I heard it, I thought there's no way they're going back. There's no way they're playing the Tampa 2. There's no way they're going to be going cover 2 heavy. The first time they said it, I thought, you know, slip of the tongue. But they've said it consistently, repeatedly, over and over and over again. Roquan would be the perfect linebacker for that defense. So it might be a guy like that. That wouldn't shock me at all.
Right.
And me either. I feel like a great middle linebacker is going to get you more wins than a guard or a running back would.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also just think that a guy like Quentin Nelson being able not only to protect Andrew Luck, but also being able to help with the new run scheme. I think that's, you know, something that is really hard to pass up, but either way.
Yeah. Yeah. The guy, like I said, I think the guy's going to step in. He might be an all pro his rookie year. Mm-hmm. This year though, like I said, there are going to be a lot of guys. We didn't even talk about a lot of the guys that are going to be available at the top of that second round that are going to be able to fill in, and the drop off from an all pro guard to just a really good guard, it's not that huge. So for me, you take two guards, take two shots. You got 3 second round picks. take two guards in the second round and feast or famine with them before I would take him. But again, like I said, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be a fan. I don't know if I'll buy my first offensive lineman jersey with Quentin Nelson, but maybe I might. But whatever the Colts do, I'm going to root for the guy. But I certainly would like to see him go in a different direction.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I know that a lot of people feel that way, and I can still understand the argument that's definitely there. So, Jake, we're done talking about you and your pick. How happy are you about your pick?
Pretty well. That's been my plan pretty much all along. I think we've all considered a million times what we would think the Colts would do. If Chubb is off the board at six, I think you start looking at, you got to think of Quentin Nelson. Personally, I wouldn't go that high with Saquon Barkley, but I think they would. I also wouldn't even mind taking a look at, Derwin James, Minkah Fitzpatrick, or Denzel Ward. There's just so many ways they could go. Would any of us be surprised if it was Tremaine Edmonds either?
No.
I mean, if we're looking at defining physical traits like they like, he is a monster. Like, he looks like he was made in a lab. And he's as athletic as that, too, on the field. So I honestly think any of the guys that most of us have ranked in our top 10 are fair game there at six.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that a lot of it goes back to what Chris actually said about, a guy like Roquan actually being a perfect fit in that scheme. But I also think that Edmonds would be a great fit too, because the dude can cover. So, I mean, he's not quite the run defender that, Smith is, or I'm sorry. That Smith is, he just seems like a missile coming out all the time. Edmonds, love him, love his game. Think that he can also double as an edge rusher as well. In fact, I think that he actually, I haven't watched him as much as whoever's done the linebackers, but for me, I think that he is a excellent candidate for an edge rusher for different setups, different situational football. And so I think that he's a guy that you can use in so many different ways. And, a guy that can cover like that at his height, I think that that's really hard to turn away from, and a guy that moves as smoothly as he does. Edmonds is a real sexy pick there for me at six too. So, I mean, there's so many, I don't think there's going to be a way, honestly, unless if Chubb's off the board and he goes Marcus Davenport, I think that might be the only thing that pisses me off at six.
Yeah. I would rather him take a guard than Marcus Davenport at six. That's true.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't see him taking Davenport at all at six.
No,
I just don't see it.
No, I don't either. I'm just saying that with all the guys around that area that could be drafted, that more than likely will be drafted around that area. I think that the guy on the outside of that is definitely Marcus Davenport. He's not a guy that should be considered that high. And that would be, to me, a strange pick. But if you look at Nelson, I mean, if you look at, like Jake said, Derwin James, Roquan Smith, Tremaine Edmonds, Maurice Hurst, even, depending on, how they see his medicals turning out. We don't know if a guy like Josh Jackson or Taven Bryan is seen as going that high. So I just think that there's a lot of guys there you could pick. And for me, in that area, Marcus Davenport's the guy not to pick. So what are you doing, Steven?
When you look at – and I haven't watched a lot of quarterback play, but when you look at Josh Jackson's scouting reports on, NFL.com, you look at that, and he kind of fits to a T what the Colts are going to look to do. He's a big physical corner, comes from a zone system, that cover three. I thought he was perfect for the Seahawks. Actually, that was a great pick. His player comparison on NFL.com is Richard Sherman. I feel like he would fit great here. I don't know that you take him at six. I think there's some other guys you would want to take. But, yeah, he's a guy that you never know.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of guys here. Steven, what are you doing? Making like a pop can house over there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, I was rearranging things in the room because I was I had to bring a light over so I could see stuff.
Please do that during our podcast, would you? You know, if you need
I didn't even know. I didn't even know. I looked over and it didn't even show that I was making any noises. So I was like, all right, I guess I can do this. And I still wanted to interject when I could to make faces, although I can't make faces because I'm on video today.
Yeah.
Boy, y'all would have had some fun watching my face.
No, I'm sure.
On some of my pics. No.
lots of eyebrow raises, lots of other stuff like that.
Lots of eye movement, lots of eyebrows.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, lots of, whew, yeah. You can just picture it right there, I think, just that noise.
Yeah. Oh, I can. Like I said, to me, it just sounds like you're saving Coke tabs. You know, just ripping them right off. So, guys, I hope you enjoyed our very first mock draft. We're going to do this, I think, once a week, as long as Steven stops taking his trash out in the middle of a podcast. I think we're going to be all right
with this. I do one thing, and I kicked off. Come on. I feel like Derwin James pretty much saved me.
Though. Yeah.
I think that should definitely make a difference here.
Yeah, I think he gave you a little bit of leniency there as well. I give you that for sure. So thank you guys all for hanging out with us tonight. We appreciate it. Make sure you guys are getting to iTunes and giving us a rating and review. If you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel, do that and share it. Let other people know about it. We are going to start doing some more player breakdowns and stuff on here as we get closer to the NFL draft. And make sure, as always, to get to Stampede Blue and put some of your well hard-earned money in the Colts draft guide, the Stampede Blue draft guide that we're putting together. It's definitely worth the money. It's going to be a lot of great information from a lot of great people doing really good work. So thank you guys all for joining, hanging out with us. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Colts Cast. Let's air it out. Let's air it out.